Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. There is Power in a Union. The Epic Story of Labor in America is a work of history by Philip Dre that examines the development of the American labor movement from the 19th century into the late 20th and early 21st centuries. Rather than treating unions as a single triumphal story, the book presents labor history as a conflict-filled process shaped by organizing drives, strikes, political battles, institutional victories, and serious internal failures. Dre focuses on how workers fought for safer conditions, fair wages, shorter hours, weekends, and retirement security, while also showing how race, gender, and ideology shaped who benefited from labor gains. The result is a broad, readable synthesis of social and political history that explains why labor unions mattered not only to workers, but to American democracy more broadly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a sweeping chronology of labor struggle from the industrial age to modern times. One of the book's central strengths is its wide historical range. Dre traces the labor movement from early industrialization in textile mills and other harsh workplaces through the rise of large-scale unionism and later decline in union power. This long view matters because it shows labor history as a changing response to economic transformation, not as a single event or a fixed ideology. The book connects early wage labor abuses, the growth of mass industry, and the changing structure of work in the late 20th century, making clear that union organizing emerged from concrete workplace conditions. By moving across eras, Dre can show both continuity and change the same basic struggle over power at work reappears in different forms as technology, management, and law evolve. That chronological sweep gives readers a framework for understanding present-day labor conflict as part of a much older American pattern rather than a new crisis. Secondly, labor rights are shown as a foundation of everyday work protections. The book argues that many workplace protections often taken for granted were shaped by labor activism and union pressure. Dre emphasizes outcomes such as safer working conditions, minimum wage standards, the weekend, and retirement benefits, showing that these were not automatic gifts from employers or government, but hard-won reforms. This is important because it shifts labor history away from a narrow focus on strikes and toward a broader account of legal and social change. The book suggests that unions influence not just wages, but the entire definition of decent work. By connecting organizing campaigns to specific gains, Dre makes a practical case for why labor movements mattered in ordinary life. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how collective bargaining and political mobilization helped establish norms that now structure the modern workplace. The book therefore works as both history and explanation, showing how institutional rights often begin as contested demands from working people. Thirdly, the book treats unions as flawed institutions, not simple heroes. Dre avoids presenting unions as morally pure or politically flawless. A major part of the book's credibility comes from its willingness to address the racist, sexist, and exclusionary behavior that marked portions of labor history. This balanced approach prevents the narrative from becoming propaganda and instead places unions within the broader social prejudices of American life. The book shows that a movement for workers' rights could still reproduce hierarchies that excluded many workers, especially women and workers of color. That complexity is analytically useful because it explains why labor solidarity was often fragile and why organizing across identity lines proved difficult. Dre's method also helps readers understand internal tensions within labor itself, including conflicts between conservative and radical impulses. By acknowledging mistakes and failures, the book gives a more trustworthy account of labor's achievements. Its argument is not that unions were perfect, but that they were historically necessary and often morally contradictory institutions operating in an unequal society. Fourthly, labor leaders and rank-and-file activists give the history a human scale, rather than writing labor history as a sequence of laws and organizations alone. Dre uses individual figures to anchor the larger story. Prominent activists such as Eugene Defee Debs and A. Philip Randolph help illustrate how labor politics linked workplace struggle with broader visions of justice, democracy, and civil rights. This person-centered method matters because it makes the movement legible as a human struggle involving risk, conviction, compromise, and persistence. The book's narrative energy comes from showing how leaders, organizers, and ordinary workers faced police repression, employer resistance, and political isolation while trying to build collective power. These figures also demonstrate that labor history was never separate from wider social reform movements. Debs represents the radical democratic strain in labor politics, while Randolph connects unionism to racial justice and mass mobilization. By profiling such figures, Dre gives readers memorable entry points into a large historical field and shows how ideas became action through organizing work and public leadership. Lastly, labor history is presented as a measure of American democracy itself. A major interpretive claim in the book is that the labor movement functioned as a creative and enduring engine of democracy, Dre does not reduce unions to economic institutions. He presents them as forces that expanded participation, bargaining power, and civic consciousness among ordinary people. That framing matters because it links the workplace to the health of the broader political order. In this view, struggles over wages, hours, and safety are also struggles over citizenship and power. The book suggests that when workers can organize effectively, democratic life becomes more substantive because people gain a real voice in the conditions that shape daily existence. At the same time, the decline or weakening of labor rights signals a narrowing of democratic capacity. This perspective gives the book contemporary relevance without turning it into polemic. It encourages readers to see labor history not as a separate niche topic, but as part of the continuing argument over who has power in American society and how that power should be checked. In conclusion, There Is Power in a Union will be especially valuable for readers who want a serious but accessible history of American labor, including students, union members, teachers, activists, and general readers interested in political and social history. It offers more than a list of strikes or biographies of famous organizers. Its main benefit is that it connects workplace Sankirsch to larger questions of democracy, inequality, law, race, and citizenship. Readers gain a clear account of how labor victories shape the standards that define modern work, while also seeing the movement's limitations and internal contradictions. That balance makes the book more useful than celebratory union histories that ignore exclusion or complexity. It also stands out from narrower academic studies because it is broad in scope, readable in style, and grounded in narrative rather than jargon. For anyone trying to understand why labor still matters in the present, the book provides historical depth, institutional context, and a clear explanation of how collective action changed American life. Its lasting value is that it makes labor history feel central, not peripheral, to the story of the United States. If you would like to support Philip Dre, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.